Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. And I'm very, very, very excited to tune in, or that you tuned in. I'm glad I was able to tune in too, praise God. But I'm so happy that we are here on tonight, and we are up for a major lesson that God would have for us, I believe, in this hour and this time for us. But before we get into the lesson, I always, always, always want to make sure that I give a major shout out to those of you that may be new and this is your very first time listening to the broadcast. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Like I said, this is Leah Killings for Dr. Happy. We come on every Monday night at 9 o'clock, whatever time zone you're on. So I'm happy that you're here. Our goal is to make sure that you leave different. We want you to be educated, to be encouraged, and to be empowered. Now, the lesson may not be something brand new, but it's a topic that we want you to feel encouraged by, that God will give you something that will motivate your spirit to change for the better, and that it will empower you to make the necessary changes, but not just keep them for yourself, but to share them with other people. Amen. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Whoever invited you, tell them I said thank you. And if it was me, I'll pat myself on the back. But amen. Nevertheless, thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have been with me, praise God. Can you believe in a couple months it's coming? I could say 10 years we've been in this thing. So for 9 years, you've been here with me. You've been praying with me. You've been encouraging me. All some of you, very few of you, but some of you, even in the hour, or not even an hour, the moment before I dialed in. So I thank you for that. And so I thank you for those of you that do pray for me. I know many of you do pray for me, so I don't want to negate that. But I know many of you are encouraging me and keeping me doing what God has called me to do. And so I'm thankful, thankful, thankful for that. I'm also encouraged and uplifted by your comments and your suggestions. And those of you that email me and text me and call me through the week to let me know how God has moved in your life. It's important, and it moves me, and so I'm encouraged by that, so I thank you. For those of you that don't know, I have to call two names out. That's Jesse and Tammy Storr, because if it wasn't for them and the Mega Ministry Group, I wouldn't know that this was possible. And so praise God, they gave me an opportunity to be on this platform, and so I will always, 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 always give them a shout-out of praise and call them by name. Because without them, I wouldn't have known this platform was available to me and for me. And so I will always give them a shout out. So now that we've got all our shout outs in, I always try to start the broadcast with an upbeat song to get us in the zone. At least for me, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then acknowledge you and thank you for tuning in. And then giving the biggest shout out and praise to God before we go into our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for loving us. And loving us enough, Father, to allow us to live in this space that we call earth. We thank you, Father, for the air that we breathe. We thank you, Father, things, Father, that we just take for granted. We thank you for the things that we know to thank you for, and even for the things we don't even know to thank you for. We thank you, Father, most importantly, for your love and your unlimited supply of blessings that you instill upon us daily so that we can have our being. And so, Father, when we stop, or sometimes lack to stop, and say thank you, Father, we're taking this time to say thank you because we appreciate all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for the things that you do that we just sometimes take for granted, and how I try to always highlight them in my prayers, because I am sincerely thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm sincerely thankful for the Word. And I'm most importantly thankful, Father, that if it hadn't been for the sacrifice Jesus made on all of our behalf, we wouldn't have an opportunity to intimately know you, nor have an opportunity to be able to live with you eternally. So for that, Father, we say thank you. We thank you for being a vine and allowing us to be your branches and allowing us to be connected to you so that we can grow and have the fruit that will remain. And we know that we can prosper because we're connected to you. Because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. So, Father, keep being our shepherd and keep leading us and guiding us to the promise. And we'll be obedient, Father, as much as we can be, Father. But never leave us nor forsake us, and help us to understand that you're always there. We may not see you or see you, but we know that you're always there. And so we thank you, and we love you, and we honor you, and we adore you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, Father, and believe and trust that everyone will get an inspiring word, that you will remove me and let your words and your voice come through, so that he or she who is listening will hear an empowering word to empower them to make the necessary changes for growth and for us to be one with you. We love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change, Boss Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I have so much to cover, and excuse me, it's been an interesting day today. I was getting better and feeling better, and then for whatever reason, well, I shouldn't say for whatever reason, I kind of know the reason, but nevertheless, my body is doing something funky to me, and so my eyes are going weird, and I was like, Lord, you know I have to minister today, and so I need for you to show up and just show out, because I can't do this by myself. And you've never left me, and you've never forsaken me whenever it's time for me to minister. And so I don't believe you're going to start. So I just believe you're going to do what is necessary. So what do I need to do? Do I need to lay down? Do I need to take a nap? What do I need to do? And so the beauty of what God revealed to me basically goes with the lesson. And so one of the coolest things about God that I've discovered is that many times, especially when I minister, God allows me to experience what I'm ministering because I've been an avid person of saying that when I minister, I don't minister from what I've heard about. I minister from what I talked about or what I've experienced or what I've seen and know to be true, at least for me. And so I had to go through something, I guess, in order for me to have it to be as sincere and to be as transparent as possible. So for those of you that know me, know that I'm pretty transparent. And so today will be maybe a little difficult because I have to be transparent. Although those of you do know that I love dropping names, but I won't drop names today unless God leads me to. But for the most part, I want to be as transparent as possible because it has been something that has really been on my heart for the past couple of months, almost the whole time that I've been going through processing this sickness, this illness, the things that I've been going through, which I'm grateful to say that, praise God, I was diagnosed to be delivered from cancer, amen. But I was perplexed because I didn't feel the joy and the excitement I thought I would feel hearing those words. And I guess because some of it is still coupled with pain and some residuals from it. But nevertheless, I'm still excited, but I don't feel what I thought I was going to feel. But nevertheless, we'll get to that. But one of the things I think that God laid on my heart, especially for preparing for this particular lesson, was a statement that I learned about 30 years ago. And the statement that I learned was, say what you mean what you say. And when I heard that, I don't know why it was so calming. Maybe it was because it was something that my dad had kind of declared over me when I was a kid anyway. I shouldn't say declared. Well, he declared it. He also kind of broke my back a little bit with it too. But it was... ask God for wisdom, because mainly the system that we lived in, common sense ain't always common. But if you ask for wisdom that God gives it liberally, then you will make better decisions. And so I wouldn't get as many whoopings as I was getting if I was to ask for wisdom. And so for those of you that know my father or knew my father, his whippings, they mattered. And so I prayed a lot for wisdom. And so in the midst of me praying for wisdom, I really believe God honored my request because he gave it to me. And many times he gave it to me because I asked for it, of course. But I really enjoyed learning about different aspects of life, and especially the things that I participated in. And so when I learned the statement, say what you mean and mean what you say, it helped me establish a foundation to go with the wisdom that I had been praying and asking God for. But in the later years of my wisdom, I don't know whether it's a blessing as much as it is, and I don't want to say it's a curse, because it's not a curse to have godly wisdom, but it has some challenges and it has some cost to go with it. And what do I mean when I say it has some cost? Well, one of the things that, like I said, I love studying. And so I like to read. I love to study. I like listening to different types of people. I like, it was so funny the other day, I caught myself because these gentlemen were, I can't remember exactly the term of what they are, but they're the nation, the not Muslims, I can't remember what the ex call were, but they were passing out brochures. And normally I don't take different things from different people, but I kind of do. I take that back. I do. Because I like to read it to see how they use the word and manifest it to how they need it, and then still see how a witness and a message can still be taught or purpose from whatever information people are given, whether it's further what God intended or not. I like reading it because it gives me information and gives me wisdom, if you will, when I talk to different people, because I take my walk with, as my minister walk, seriously enough that I can talk to anybody, or I shouldn't say anybody, but talk to enough people and find a common ground and be able to use whatever God uses in me to find that common core to be able to relate to people. But nevertheless, and so in the midst of that, I am knowledgeable on a lot of topics. And so because I'm knowledgeable on a lot of topics, I find myself commenting sometimes in areas where I probably shouldn't, because of the interpretation that other people take from it. And so it used to bother me at one time, but then at one time it didn't, because I didn't care. But when I started to care, I think that's when it became a challenge. And how those of you that study for wisdom, study for knowledge, many times you will find yourself in circles where you know the right answer. But many times when you learn the wisdom of God, God will give you the words or tell you when to be quiet. And so I don't want to give away my topic too soon, but I wanted to throw this in because this is a new little phrase that I've learned, and so I won't say it in entirety. But sometimes we're saying things that we don't realize that we're coming across as snitches. And so snitches sometimes end up with stitches that end up in ditches. That's the PG version. But nevertheless, sometimes you attain a lot of information, and then it's, what do you do with it, Lord? I mean, I know the answer, and I know you're telling me not to say it, so, but what do I do with this information? Because not all the time we're supposed to say is because we know. Amen. Say that my uncle teaches me, has taught me very, very valuable nuggets. And one of this particular nugget really helped me, and I use it often. And he helped me learn how to say, in my opinion. So when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking as a matter of fact of this or that, but in my opinion. Now, many times it's not my opinion. Many times it is fact because I'm speaking based on the word. But I say in my opinion to lessen the, I don't know what you would call it, the interpretation, I guess you will, for the other person. So it doesn't seem like I'm coming across as a know-it-all. But nevertheless, these three words have really helped me, not necessarily not to get stitches, but it has helped me to not necessarily become or think more highly of myself than I ought to. And so it's easy for me to dumb myself down if I have to, because I don't have to be right, and I don't have to have the last word. That's part of wisdom. And so why is all this necessary to say, Dr. Happy? You see how I validated myself, but nevertheless. The reason why I had to say all of that is to let you know the topic that God wants us to deal with today is discernment. And so discernment, and so I thought, wow, Lord, you know, my feelings got hurt this week, and I couldn't quite understand some of the things that was thrust upon me this week. And so I thought, well, whenever God gives me an opportunity to experience a topic that he gives me, I still love to look up the definitions, because just because I know the word doesn't necessarily mean I know everything that entails with the word. And so when you look up the word discernment, it means the ability to judge well. Another definition says perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. And so I like a keen sense of God-given perception, God-given judgment, and insight. And so I thought, wow, that's cool. God-given perception. And so with that, I had to think, wow, Lord, this is pretty cool. So when we think about discernment, you know, who has discernment? I mean, can we all discern? And the answer is yes. Even as infants, we're born with a level of discernment. We know what's hot or cold. We know what's good or what's bad. We can discern a lie from the truth many times. But with everything, you have to develop discernment. And many of us don't go no further than the basic levels of discernment. Yeah, I know that's hot. Yeah, I know that's cold. But why is it hot or is it cold? Why, if I touch it, can I get different degrees of burns? Why, when I touch something cold, I can get different degrees of burns? How is that possible? Well, that comes from having a better understanding of your perception. And so if you never strengthen that, and that's one of the things that I think God has given me, even with Empowered to Change the ministry of as a self, is to challenge people to make the necessary changes. Saints, there are too many of us that are still at babe levels in areas of our lives. Me and a coworker I was talking to not long ago about how just because we're up in age, we still have to grow up. And how he said that he met a 50-something-year-old person, and he said they need to grow up. And I said, isn't it comical that we sometimes associate age with maturity? But saints, there are levels in our lives that we have to develop, and the only person that has the ability to do that is you. We're out of school. We're not in our parents' homes anymore, but they're going to make us learn. We have to do it ourselves. And so if we don't develop discernment and really understand, how will we ever really grow spiritually? I mean, that's the main purpose of the show, is to help you grow and learn your discernment from a spiritual perspective. And so when I say discern and developing your discernment is not just necessarily with the word, but even with actions. When we embrace somebody, do we just hug them and keep it moving? Or do we hug people and really use discernment to know, are we missing something in the hug? Were they hugging us because they were sad or something's missing in their lives? Are they just really excited to see you? Or are they, is the hug because they're alone? I mean, there's so many things, but if we don't use a discernment, how will we ever know? How about laughter? Sometimes people are laughing, but they're hiding that they're crying or that they're afraid. And then, of course, people laugh because they're happy. But are we using our discernment when we're talking about people, when our whole goal, what God has gifted us all to do, and that is to love one another? Are we really discerning the people that we claim we love? Now, here go my favorite terms or phrases, if you will, to discern that we don't do anymore. How you doing? Fine. I'm good. We just keep it moving. Do we really listen to what people are saying when they say, I'm fine or I'm good? Or do we just, because we're so busy, we just keep it moving? Is it that we're busy? Is it that we just don't want to be bothered? Or do we just really not care? We got to do better. And the thing that I think was most moving to me was the scripture that God gave me, because I thought, Lord, it can't be that we just don't care. Can it be that we just don't care? And then I was reminded of 2 Timothy 3, and it says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. when people will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boastful, pride, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of ungodliness, but denying its power, having nothing, have nothing to do with such people. And I thought, well, Lord, that kind of talks about quite a few people I know. But nevertheless, when I go to Luke 6:35, it says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend them, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And so then I thought, wow, Lord, all my feelings wrapped up. Why do I feel this way? Why, what's going on? So when I went to the doctor today, he said, you're a lot stiffer than you were last week. What has happened? And I had to think about it. What have I been doing? And what have I not been able to overcome? Because, amen, I haven't done anything majorly different. But I realized my body has been abused. But I can get used to that because it's been attacked a lot. My mind has been abused, and I can get used to that. But when your heart gets attacked, that's hard, and that's difficult. And so I had to ask God, help me figure that out, because I believe in my heart. That's why I've been sick as long as I have been, because my heart is way too big and way too open. And a girlfriend reminded me, she's like, Leah, do you remember Bible study that you taught the kids years ago? How there's an outer court, there's an inner court, and there's a holy of the holies, and how you told them you can't let certain people in this part of the holy holies. You got to be careful, your parents, and at the age that you're at, you should only really have your parents and your brothers and sisters, in the inner court, and the outer court should be for your little school friends or whatever. And then you even said that some of them folks need to be in the parking lot. I think you need to assess where you have a lot of people in your life, because they can only hurt your heart if they're in the wrong places in your life. And I had to really think about it. I'm like, wow, Lord, she used my own words against me. Amen. But not necessarily was it my own words. It was your words, Lord. And so I thought, well, Lord, I could have this pity party by myself. And then God said, well, remember, I told you to talk about discernment. And I was like, you're absolutely right. I'm like, well, Lord, how do I deal with that? How do I minister when my heart is hurt? And he told me to go to Paul. And so our lesson is from Philippians. Now, I would rather you read the whole chapter of Philippians 1. But I'm just going to highlight a few things and why it gave me peace and gave me encouragement to teach this lesson today. And then I'm going to give you an antidote how to get past when you're going through the things of life and you think, well, Lord, if I'm asking for this wisdom, you give it to me. And then I don't even know what to do with it, because I can't say nothing to nobody because it offends people. I can't be around certain people because it offends people. I can't do certain things because it offends people. And all I'm trying to do is live a life that's pleasing to you. And one person said to me, Leah, well, I shouldn't say one person, quite a few people have said to me, Leah, people, it should be a compliment because people respect your call. And I laughed. In the beginning, that felt good because I thought, oh, wow, they see that I'm a Christian. But these same people are Christians too, so why are you putting me higher than God? If you can do it in front of God, you should be able to do it in front of me. So I don't buy that communication anymore. If you're not doing something in front of me and you can do it in front of God, that's an insult to me now, because now you're putting me higher than God. And I, by no means of the imagination, am better than God. By no means of the imagination. Nor do I see that as a compliment anymore, because now you're saying that I can do this in front of God that has heaven and a hell and has everything in between. I can hardly pay my bills. And you don't want to do something in front. That is comical now to me, because you're deeming me higher than you ought to, because I don't want that title. I am just as human and fallible as you are, and I'm hiding my dirt just like you hiding yours. I just have a little more wisdom to know the difference. But don't punish me because I'm trying to live a life for Christ. And you may not be at that level, and I'm not knocking you because I remember what Luke said. Luke said to love all people, including my enemies. So I don't have no love lost for anybody. And so I'm saying this to be transparent because I know there's quite a few people that are out there that are being treated differently because you walk differently or you look different or whatever the situation may be. But then those same people say that they are walking, and that's what the word said, they're representing godly things. How can you when you do that? You can't, nevertheless. Back to Paul. So this is what gave me hope, looking at Paul. And I like the fact that Paul greets his letters, and he says, grace to you and peace from our God, Father, and Lord of Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you making my prayer with joy because of your partnership from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. That gave me hope because it was like, yes, Lord, I'm not going to forsake my calling. I'm not going to forsake my purpose. I'm not going to forsake my walk because I know that God is going to bring my work to completion. Regardless of whether people treat me kind, leave me out, don't accept me, reject me, whatever it is, I hold in my heart for you are all partakers of the grace with me, both in imprisonment and in defense for my confirmation of the gospel. God reminded me, Paul wrote these letters from prison. How dare I complain when I have the freedom to get up and move about? Yes, I'm having a few pains here and there, but I have no reason to be doubtful, no reason to feel inadequate because of certain things that come my way or don't come my way. How dare you? This man wrote these letters from prison. He wrote most of the Bible from prison. And we are still being blessed by the words that God gave him. And even further down in this same passage of scripture, it talks about that all of God's word was inspired by him. But he uses certain people. So if God wants to use me to do whatever he's called us to do, me, you, any of us, walk proud in the assignment that God has called for you. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for being a child of God. Why do we do that? Because we don't use the right discernment. We're not using spiritual discernment. We're using earthly discernment. Yes, okay, they don't like me because I'm a Christian. Yes, they'll think I'm such and such and such because I'm a Christian. But use your spiritual discernment and know that in the end of the day, your witness will stand true for you because God said that he will complete you. Amen. Okay, keep going. And so advance in the gospel. Skip it down to verse 12. I want you to know, brethren, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Him going to prison, advance the gospel. Whew. I could talk a whole nother hour about Paul's assignment in prison, why we have the spiritual weapons of our warfare. Whew. Amen. Could go a whole nother bit. But it has served him well. Amen. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from every rivalry, but others from goodwill. I pray the latter, that you do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ to out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only in every way, whether in prison, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ I proclaim and I rejoice. So, amen. Why should we rejoice when we're persecuted? Because praise God. at the end of the day, we will reign. Why? Because Jesus did. Jesus had to do what he had to do. And so it was interesting that many times people wonder, I think it was my husband once was in a class, and some of the people were testifying about how a lot of their friends still go to clubs and still do a lot of secular things. And the instructor was like, why would you hang around people like that? And the response, when my husband told it, was so remarkable for me, because he said, how can light shine in darkness if the light is always with the light? That was deep to me. We have to be in every aspect of the world in order for God's light to be seen. Sometimes we can get so caught up thinking that I'm a Christian, so I got to hang with Christians. I'm a sinner, so I got to hang with sinners. No. The love of God shall allow us to be around anybody and everybody without judgment. Without judgment. But why do we put these judgments on each other? Don't use discernment. We can tell the difference between hot and cold, but in a heartbeat for me, and I know this is probably way to the left, but some people can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and put it in their backpack and wait and eat it later for whatever they're going to eat it for. I can't do that, because then to me, the peanut butter and jelly is too warm. I can't do that. So I have to, if I know I'm going to have one peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's going to be later and I'm putting it in the bag, I got to put my bread in a separate bag, because I can't put the peanut butter and jelly on the same bread, because then it's soggy to me. I can't do it. I can't put my peanut butter in my cold jelly. Can't do it. But does that mean I can't sit together and eat lunch with somebody that got the peanut butter and jelly sandwich already made? Yes, I can. We got to understand. We got to become together. We have to live in Christ amongst all people. My daughter said, Jesus preached to the prostitutes. Well, I mean, well, why was he with the prostitutes? See, he had to be around them in order to preach to them. So what are we saying? Saying, I can't do this. I think that we should be able to know each other enough to use discernment, that if I invite such and such and such and such to come with me, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do what I'm doing, or I'm going to do what they're doing. We just family. We together. We friends. We just kicking it. But when you start leveling people based on what your judgments are, whether you think they'll do this or whether you think they think this, it means you're not using the right level of discernment. And those of us that know Christ should have a spirit of discernment. There's a difference. And so I have to make sure that I highlight that, because sometimes I think we get caught up with that too. There are spiritual gifts, and so we said that we were going to talk about our spiritual gifts, or talk about the Holy Spirit, because we're in still the parameter of the 50 days that we're leading into Pentecost, when Jesus laid his life down. And then 50 days he sent the Holy Spirit, which we are so grateful for, that the Holy Spirit came with gifts. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks a lot about that. And so I'm not going to go into total discussion, but I want to make sure that I share a few things. And I think I'm going to have to read the first 10 script verses, so I apologize for kind of getting off topic, but this is a side commercial. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you're pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by the idols. Therefore, I want you to know no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same gift distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of works, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God. Say that again. Same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are works of one and of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, there was a time, amen, I used to say that I believe God gave me the spirit of discernment. And I may have been correct to some degree, but I beg to differ now because, again, I lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's wisdom. That's discernment. I don't know if many of you remember Benny Hinn when he used to prophesy and it was advertised and publicized and it was a big thing. He was the healing man and he had the healing gift and blah, 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 blah. Where is he? I say that to say sometimes we take ownership to stuff that we need to use discernment and understand that although God may have given us allows us to use one particular aspect of the spirit in one way more than others doesn't necessarily mean it's mine. I have. Amen. I don't have anything. I have the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But it says that he distributes them as he discerns. So one day I could use the manifestation and have the spirit of faith. And one day, the same afternoon, it could be the interpret tongue. I mean, however God distributes them, that's how he distributes. So I don't say I have the gift of discernment. I believe that I have wisdom more so than what I had because I've developed it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit allows me to see things clearly in some areas than others because there's some areas, amen, because if I had the gift of discernment, I'd be able to discern everything, and there's a whole lot of stuff I ain't discerning. But nevertheless, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Spirit too. And so with the wisdom and the discernment, God allows them to be used when we need them. We have to be obedient in order for them to manifest to the powers and to the levels that God needs sometimes. But, you know, he could do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. But wouldn't it be better for you to be in the right place so that he can manifest whatever he needs whenever he needs it and to be able to use you? Whew. Amen. But nevertheless, when we ask God for understanding, when we ask God for wisdom, he gives them liberally, but we have to develop them. And when we don't develop them, we stunt our own growth. And so we're mature in a lot of things when we don't have to be. And the reason why I believe God wants us to really focus on this in this hour is because I like that verse 12 in the same 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, just as the body through one has many parts, but all is many parts from one, so it is with Christ. So we are all a governing body. And so because I'm off today, Sister Soul may be able to manifest what I'm missing because I'm not right. But because she's right, the body can still operate the way it needs to operate. But if I'm not using discernment because Sister or Brother Blue is blue, but we ain't using our discernment when he said, I'm fine. And then he commits suicide. And we were both in his presence. Were we not in the right space to discern this brother needed more than just how you doing? I think my heart is heavy because I can really have an idea how disappointed God is with a lot of us because we're not using the gifts that he's given and we're not being as discerning as we need to be. Saints, folks are hurting and they're hurting bad. And he put us in the earth to be salt because we're not even trying. We're not even trying. I was telling my daughter, I was like, baby girl, you know, you have to try.
I can't make you know. I mean, there's some things I can't make, but necessarily. She has to want them. And if you don't want them, then, amen, you'll never develop them. You have to write down. Why it's so important for us to write down the areas where we are missing it. And it is not okay to say, that's just how I am. That's not going to fly when you have to stand before God. You want him to say, good and faithful servant, not, yeah, I knew your heart. Saints, we have to do better. We have to do better. And so what does that mean? That means we have to slow down. That means we have to figure out, Lord, where am I? Am I doing what you call me to do? Last week, I asked y'all to write down a couple of scriptures. Just two. Did anybody do it? Raise your hand if you did. Amen. God see you in the spirit. Amen. What was it? 10:19? I think it was. What does Luke 10:19 say? It says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Well, thanks. I said it is important for us to write that down because we have to remember because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't stop just because it's Tuesday or it's Wednesday or because he tried on Saturday. Every hour on the hour, if he can, he will strike. But you have to know you have authority to trample on him. So even in my shallowness of my heart being exposed, I didn't even take my own medicine out front. Granted, I know the scripture to memory, but I still forget. And so I have to keep it before me. And that's why I want you to keep it before you, that when the enemy tries, it says, overcome all of the power of the enemy. It didn't say some. It didn't say a third or fourth or half. Come all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So I have to be reminded. And that's why I'm so grateful that God has placed certain people in my life. Amen. And I'm going to have to close the door again because there are people in my holies of holies that shouldn't be there because they're allowing the enemy to use them to strike. And that's hurtful for me because I want my doors to be open. I want all of them to be open, even the people in the parking lot could come in. But God is teaching me I have to set my boundaries and I have to stay true to him because the enemy wants to shut me up and to shut me down. And he's doing a good job in my body, praise God. But I have to protect my mind. I have to protect my heart. And protecting my mind and protecting my heart, my body will follow. And so I have to start there. So I have to set the boundaries. And so how do I do that, Lord, when I don't understand? And so a girlfriend asked me, she said, Clea, you know, you have a lot of acoustics for a lot of things. Do you have one for doubt? You know what? Thank you. Praise God. I'll have one tonight. And so praise God, God gave me an antidote when we are allowing situations to motivate us to do things that are opposed to what the word says. When we are in denial or when we forget that we have been given authority. Or even the other scripture I gave y'all, Jeremiah 29:11, when God has that purpose for you, and that purpose is not to harm you, the purpose to give you hope in the future, because he knows the plan for you, plans to prosper, not to harm, plans to give you hope in the future. And then knowing that nothing can harm you, that really in the spirit. And so when we doubt or we don't know how to use discernment quickly, and I'm not talking about earthly discernment, I'm talking about spiritual discernment. Asking God, Lord, I need you to access. Or we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Holy Spirit, activate. Lord, activate in me discernment. I need discernment right now. I need wisdom right now. And he will because he has a plan for you to give you hope and give you a future. And then I have an antidote, praise God, for doubt.
So D, discernment. You got to know why you're feeling or having or being in the environment that you're in. And what does discernment? You got to have the right perception. You got to be able to recognize. And then what is it goes with our scripture. Overcome. What does overcome mean? Overcome means to succeed at dealing with. So now you know what you're dealing with because you can perceive it, you can recognize it, and now you know how to succeed at dealing with it. And if you don't know, praise God, ask God. Go to the dictionary, go to Google, look it up, whatever it is that you're going through. And then my favorite word, unapologetic. Unapologetic. What is unapologetic? I don't have any regrets anymore. I am a child of God, and I'm happy about being a child of God, and amen. And because I am a child of God, that means I'm covered. That means I'm protected. That means the blood of Jesus covers me. I'm dripping and oozing. And so I have no regrets for that. And so why should I be doubting? If I have to remind myself, why do I not believe that God's going to come through for me when I'm an unapologetic Christian? I'm standing in the thing. I want to be not just a name only. I want to operate like Christ and have him in me. Christ, I am. Amen. And then B, believe. What does believe mean? It means you accept whatever it is that you believe in. I believe that God is going to cover me and to protect me. Because, again, Luke 10:19, I've overcome. So I have given you, that ain't the devil. That Jesus said, I have given you the authority. So if he's given me the authority to overcome, to be able to perceive, and I'm unapologetic, you better believe him. Believe. And then the last for the T is to trust. What am I trusting? I ain't trusting. Believe the same thing? Well, no. Because I can believe that God's going to heal me. But I got to trust that he'll do it. So trust is just in knowing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. So I believe him and I trust that he'll do it. So I'm not going to doubt anymore. Because I'm going to use discernment. I'm going to overcome whatever it is that I'm going through. I'm going to remember that I'm unapologetically a woman or a child of God. Because I believe and I'm going to accept whatever God, whatever the word says, that's what I'm going to believe. And then I'm going to stand on God's truth because I trust him. He's done it before, he'll do it again. And he's not a respecter of a person. And if he did it for somebody else, he's definitely going to do it for me. So saints, use the discernment that God has given you and figure out, Lord, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I using the right discernment on the people that I claim I love? Am I using the right discernment when I hear certain words, when I do certain things or see certain things? Am I even using discernment on myself? Lord, help me. Help me to discern what is true and what's a lie when the enemy is throwing stuff at me that's not true. Help me to not doubt. Help me to be able to discern, to overcome, to be unapologetic, to believe, and to trust you. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that I'm out of time. Amen. And I believe that I'm going to have to see y'all next week because I'm never, ever, ever out of talk. But I am out of time. And so I pray that you have gotten something from this lesson. And I want to thank you two, and you know who you are, for praying me out of this thing today. So I thank you. In the moments before the broadcast, I thank you. But amen. I'm grateful that God has given me discerning people in my life to help me understand that I got to close some doors and set up some boundaries because we don't even realize sometimes that we're hurting people. But if we're not using discernment, we'll continue to do that. So saints, we got to do better. But I close the broadcast every Monday night with my granny's favorite song because I know she's listening. She's my number one listener. Every praise belongs to God because he is awesome and amazing. And so he deserves our praise. And so just to let you know, the scriptures that I had before I close, our main scripture was Philippians chapter 1, verse, just read the whole first chapter. And then we read from the gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read that whole chapter to get that in your knowing. And then we talked about Luke 6 and 35. And then we talked about 2 Timothy 3 about just we're in the last days. And we just don't want to be none of the characteristics that were listed in that. Amen. We don't want to be lovers of ourselves. Amen. We want to be able to be discerning. And then we want to make sure that we do Luke 6, 35. We want to love all, even our enemies. Amen. And then if you didn't write down Luke 10 and 19, write it down. And Jeremiah 29 and 11. So you can get that in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. So you can be the best believer, best thing that God calls and purpose for you to do. Amen. Again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so, like I said, I close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song that we're about to hear. But remember to always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you. God keep you. See you next week.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Take it up and praise.
It's to our God.